All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to part six of Aviva webcast that we're doing, podcast. And we have a special guest, Nicolas Georgeot, with us. And he's a Microsoft MVP, trainer, and consultant. And Nicolas, why don't you just introduce yourself really quick for the audience?
So I'm a French MVP, so coming from French for a long time, and MVP for 12 years. I was MVP on SharePoint at the very beginning, so and I'm sorry for their accent, but so I'm learning for a long time about content and the way to manage the knowledge, and that's the reason why Viva Topics makes so much sense for me. That's the reason why I'm so interested in this content.
That's perfect. So, and that's a good segue into diving right into Viva Topics. There's a lot of sort of questions around Viva, and Topics comes up often. Can you just describe to our listeners what Viva Topics is at a high level and what the main purpose and benefits are?
So at this time, Viva Topic is just a way to build a kind of dictionary in some ways, or a glossary in some place. To get a reference about information, so about a specific information. So to build this kind of Wikipedia for the company, just to get this place where it will get this reference about a specific topic, and using topic, we will find a way to just present these links in the content, in any kind of content. So it will be it will be true for Microsoft 365. With all the different products, starting by SharePoint, of course, Teams, but also Yammer and all the different products, but also with through some connectors, probably in some additional products, probably in the future. So, for example, if just thinking about a customer or user that can be just in SAP or any team conversation, we'll have this kind of card that will just present some information and a link to this reference that will be stored into the topic center.
Fantastic. With your experience with Viva Topics, do you have any really good sort of simple examples that come to mind of how customers have leveraged Viva Topics?
So what I'm proposing to the customers is at any time when I'm starting building on a project, it can be a Power BI or Power Apps. At this time, I'm working a lot with the Power Platform. And at any time, every time I need to find a place just to make sure that people will use the same term to present a specific topic, to make a real glossary about what terms that they are just using, just to make sure they will talk about the same thing. So topic is really a great way to make sure you will get this place where all the topics will be organized and curated correctly. And that's really a great way to start this glossary. So from governance perspective, when we need to start building the governance about the project, that's really great to get this place that will be the reference for all these different topics and all these different terms.
Fantastic. Makes sense. Habib, I think you had some questions about getting started.
Yeah, so I know, Nicolas, you talked about, you know, some of the ways that, you know, the organizations are going to start, like with Power BI and such. Is there any significant prerequisites that, you know, customers should be aware of before getting started with topics?
At this time, when you are just starting topics is really very simple. You just have to go into Microsoft Admin Center, the Microsoft 365 Admin Center. So you need to be a global administrator to go into the Admin Center, to go into the settings, or you need to be at least the admin, the SharePoint admin, to get this access to this specific setting for topics. So using these settings from the Microsoft 365 setting at Admin Center, you will be able to specify which SharePoint site will be used to generate this content and to automatically identify the different topics. So you will just specify which website will be used, which users will be in charge of administering the knowledge, curating the topics, and which users will be able to get an access to these topics. And the last thing is you will just have to create the topic center. So it's pretty simple. Starting topics is at this time super, super simple.
Awesome. And so when we're talking about permissions, is there a way to allow certain topics be exposed to certain users and other topics, you know, be exposed to other users? So is there that ability to have a delineation between topics for different user types?
At this time, you can decide which users will see the topics and which topic will be excluded about the automatic detection. Okay, so probably more will come about this, and we will get more tools that will let users more easily manage who will be able to see some specific topics. But at this time, we are just at the very beginning of topics, so it will probably get this kind of feature pretty soon.
And then just lastly, are end users able to create topics themselves, or is it only the specific SharePoint admin or global admin that are able to do that?
So there's two different ways to build topics, create some topics. The AI, so the automatic system will be able to go into the content and try to analyze the content, the SharePoint site or the document, and will be able to extract some information. This information will be proposed into the topic center and will be exposed to the knowledge admin. So the knowledge admin will be able to go and identify and choose which topic will be presented to the to the right users. And of course, the knowledge manager and the knowledge admin will be able to also create manually any topics if they want.
Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead, Dina.
Thanks, Ab. Just maybe talk a little bit about the high level experience in Teams. I haven't had an opportunity to dive in myself, but maybe just what's the experience at a high level like in Teams? And you know, like what's the adaptive card experience like? Is this embedded into channel conversations? I would assume just things like that. Maybe the topics app itself, like please.
Yeah. So what's really very funny with topics is, you know, in SharePoint and in technology in general, nothing new, but just they are just transforming again and again the same technology again. And I don't know if you guys remember SharePoint 2013, when they just acquired Yammer just before their go live of the product, and you know, this Yammer thing just change everything about the knowledge and people and all the different things from SharePoint 2013. But at this time, I don't know if you remember, but we were already thinking about the topic center. So this thing was already existing. So I was just wanted to add this before talking about Teams. And what is interesting in Teams is, of course, this topic will be available into all the discussions. So whenever you will go into the chat or private chat or into a team conversation, you will find this topic that will be just exposed. You will get a link. And when you will go over with the mouse, a card will appear with the description, the short description of the topic, and some link to different pages, so the topic center, but of course also some document that can be directly connected to this topic. So this will happen into Teams, and very quickly we will see an application, a Viva Topic application that will come into Teams. So the users will not have to quit the team experience to move into the topics. They will jump directly into the topic application in Teams, so they will not change and they will not leave Teams to just switch into the topic page. And in Teams, in the team application, you will get this page where you will find the topics you try to look at. And of course, you will get this topic center that will be there. So you will get this specific way to access any link when you will follow this link from any conversation. But of course, when you will just go into the home page of the topic application into Teams, you will find all the topics that could be interesting for you.
Nice. You mentioned that, you know, the SharePoint group was already thinking about topics. I'm not sure what it was called then, but is this what's referred to as SharePoint syntax today? And if not, then how is it different than what syntax is trying to do?
So syntax at this point is how we can use AI to identify some information. So first, what syntax is doing? We are just trying to identify the documents. So the structure of the document itself. So we are just trying to identify the document. And when you will be able to identify the document, we will be able to extract some information from the document. So this is what syntax is doing. So from my feeling at this time is we are more and more talking about Power Platform AI Builder, and a lot of things are going into AI Builder side. Even a small part of syntax, because you got two things into syntax. You got this when they are proposing and presenting the syntax application. You got on one side this application and this syntax center when you will be able to define the document and extract information, extract entities from document. So this is what we are trying to do, extract entities from document. So we need to understand the language. We need to understand a lot of things to build to extract the right information. And on the other way, in syntax, we are also talking about form extraction or form automation. So we got these two things into syntax. That's the place where syntax will be used just to extract, recognize and extract information. But on the other side, you got topics, which is really focusing on extracting and surfacing this dictionary. So what we are trying to do with topics is to build the knowledge graph to identify the skills. So there's a huge thing actually in the knowledge management. We are just trying to build this knowledge center in companies. And I don't know if you already looked at Azure Cognitive Search, which is a search that is available, search center, search service that is available in Azure. That will let you start building the knowledge center and build this skill database. So we need to use this topic and make sure that the system will be able to identify the topic, surface this information into the discussion and all the content, but also create this connection with people, making sure that you will be able to build this skill database.
See, good. And just lastly, for me, do you see many enterprises today curating the topics, and if so, like, what are the main scenarios for doing so?
At this time, I get some customers that are asking me, is there any way to build this kind of glossary, this global glossary? So that's usually what companies are asking here in Canada. But I know also a couple of big consulting companies, that are trying to use topic to just build this ontology reference about all the different things they are using, all the different terms they are using in documents. So it's just a way to start digging into this huge amount of document they are storing for a long time and making sure that they will be able to extract this information more easily. Because topics is not only about the terms, but also about, topics is able to understand the entities. So when we are talking about entities in language understanding, we are talking about not only about terms, but also the company names, the product names, the place, I mean, the location, all the different entities that are, that can be identified. I don't know if you already used Lewis, for example, or if you already tried to use Lewis. So this is basically these entities, this way to identify the predefined entities and also define your own entities. But at this time, we are using topics by default, but I'm pretty sure we will be in some time, we will be able to get an access to an editor that will let us create our own entities. And that will be the place where some companies like building companies or very specific companies like marketing or legal companies that will need this kind of product that will be more specific to their market, for example. I think that's the place where Microsoft is super different with the other product that I already tried from other companies.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, some of the stuff that you've been talking about, it is kind of super simple to start with topics. You talked about, the automatic detection based on AI. But you started talking about, the knowledge admin and the knowledge center. And I think this is a big shift for organizations, because I don't think the knowledge admin is an IT individual, but more so on the business. So maybe if you could talk about, maybe from a business, how organizations need to think about, using a product like Topics and involving down this AI path with the knowledge graph.
That's a very important point. Yeah, the governance. So as usual, we are all talking about governance for a long time. We were already thinking about governance for SharePoint, Teams, and all these different things from a technical perspective. But of course, the thing here is the knowledge admin will probably be a technical guy, an IT guy. Okay, so this IT guy don't know anything about the business itself. Okay. So that will be the place where the knowledge manager will be super, super important. This knowledge manager will be in charge of defining how they will think about using topics. I mean, what kind of information they want to keep in the system. How do they want to expose and organize the different topic pages? So we need to, the companies will need to think about how to consolidate the information just to make sure that topics will be presented in the same way. So we can't, for example, when we are using Wikipedia, it's super, super easy to use Wikipedia because all the different pages are organized on the same template. And there is already a predefined template in topic, but it's a SharePoint page. So people can just add some additional place, some additional web parts, even applications. So it's just basically a SharePoint page. So we can imagine using topics, for example, to list all the different applications that are using the company. And in the same page where we are presenting the application that is used in the company, who is actually in charge of the application, what is the roadmap of this application in the company, and maybe a place where the application itself will be exposed in this topic page. So this template need to be defined, and the companies will need to think about the governance, not only about the technical governance, but also the way this knowledge will be exposed and what needs to be shown to the end users. So they need to think about how we can ensure that users will find what they are supposed to find on this page. this reference? Who will be in charge of curating the content? Who, you know, do they need to refresh the content? Because we know about information that this information will be valid for maybe 6 months or 3 months. So maybe depending on the kind of information and the kind of topics, the curation will need to be, you know, reevaluate periodically. So there's a lot of things to think about this this governance.
Yeah, I think that big point of evaluating, you know, what did the automatic detection or the AI put together? Is it acknowledging the correct experts or the correct skills? Because that may differ from political items within the business or business structure and hierarchy. So I think, yeah, like a business resource is going to be a critical role to be on that knowledge management team. Mm-hmm. Kind of going beyond that, can we maybe talk about, you know, how you see topics, you know, being or differing from traditional knowledge management and maybe some other systems of, you know, dealing with that knowledge or content management?
So I was looking at Knowledge Graph for a long time, the project coming from Google, for example. So they were already thinking about using the search engine to start analyzing document, books, all the different content that Google is already indexing. So they were just trying to build this Wikipedia of knowledge in some place. And they did, they already built this kind of system just for the assistant, for example. So just to provide some additional information to the assistant. So I think the difference with the Microsoft one is this one is able to connect on the company knowledge, on the company assets. There no other system is able to connect to this huge amount of data, especially for those who are using SharePoint or using Microsoft for a long time, and just follow the different upgrades because we need to modernize the SharePoint to get an access to topics. So we need to get a modern SharePoint experience to browse and expose the content in topics. That's a big thing. I didn't talk about when we talked about the technical aspect before, but I'm sorry, but yeah, we need to get this modern experience. Even when we are using a classic, we need to get this modern page just to make sure we'll be able to apply topics. And that's the difference between other system I just already used before or try to use for some company information or company content. It's Microsoft got everything. Everything is stored into the Exchange mailbox or into, you know, everything is already stored into SharePoint. So we don't have to deal with the authentication. We don't have to deal with all these different things. And on the other side, everything is already connected. The content is already there, but correctly protected. So we got now everything from Microsoft 365 to protect the content correctly. We got DLP. We got everything ready to go deeper into this content.
That's perfect. Without breaking any NDAs or anything like that, is there a few roadmap items that you know of that are coming to topics that are you're quite excited about?
Honestly, I'm not. I don't have any secret right now. No, the best thing will be to look at the great session that will be you will get into Inspire. Ignite. So Ignite is just in a couple of weeks. So you will get a great announcement in Ignite by the team.
Nice tease.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap. For me, that was incredibly useful because I didn't admittedly really understand how Viva Topics glued it all together, but obviously the more investment you put in the knowledge graph, you'll get more out of Viva. I think net, that's what I walked away with. So that was fantastic. Really Thank appreciate you. Coming on, Nicola. And yeah. Look, you're a fellow Canadian, and I think we're obliged to send you a Canadian jersey.
Yep. Next time we see I got one, actually. I got one. I'm sorry.
All right. I appreciate your time. And for all our listeners, this is the last series of several Viva podcasts. So we cover insights, learning, connections, and now topics. So hit up our blog at 0365A.com if you're interested in anything to do with Viva. Thanks, Nicola.
Thank you. Bye. See you. See you.